Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Influencers. This presence, the influence, the unusual influencer message series concludes today. No. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all that you've done in this mini-series. We thank you for the lives that you're touching now, the lives that are going to be touched in the future, and the lives that are being touched around the world, as we heard from this morning in Malawi. Do you guys realize that what you're doing here in central New York is touching places in Southeast Africa? Yes, that's something to praise him for. Because of what we do here, it enables somebody over there to have a hospital ministry that leads people to Christ. Three of them that we know of when they videoed that, which was a couple weeks ago because they've had it for a little bit. And who knows how much more that has gone since then. So, Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for the message. We thank you that we get to press in. And as we press towards you and draw closer to you, we know that you draw closer to us. Give us ears to hear, Father God, eyes to see what you're doing here. In the loudness and in the quietness, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Unusual influencers. We've always said the idea of an influencer that we have these days is somebody on YouTube, somebody on TikTok, somebody on Instagram. I'm doing this for the gram. I'm doing this for the gram. They've always got their phones. They're like, yeah, look at me. The influence that we have is so much more powerful, so much more meaningful than most of what goes on the internet and the TV, because we have an opportunity to influence others for eternity. So we don't take that lightly. It's an opportunity, it's a great opportunity to show the world that there is a God and that he loves them. He wants to be with them. You guys remember our key verse? Such a time as this. Esther 4:14, and who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. This is the time you're living. There's a reason why you're living at this time in this place, to be an influencer to those around you. And today's message, this is going to be a powerful one. Usually I have a pretty cool title, a tricky one, something to be remembered. This one's title is called, Go Ye Into All the World. Go Ye Into All the World. With our key verse for today, Psalm 2, verse 8. Ask of me, and I will surely give you the nations as an inheritance. That surely there, I underlined it and looked it up. In the Hebrew, it is nathan. And that means to add, supply, appoint. And in different translations, God makes it clear that when you see this and you ask of him, he says, I will give you the nations as an inheritance. In this version, which is the ESV version, I will surely give you the nations as an inheritance when you ask of me. He will add, he will apply, he will appoint the nations as your inheritance. I got this last week as I was sitting here listening to Dr. Rich Brink preach. He mentioned the word nations, and in my spirit, it just perked right up. I'm like, oh, the nations, the nations. And I was like, I don't even know if I'm preaching next week. But it just spoke to me, the nations, the influence that we have on the nations. Then the next day I was here working and I just couldn't get it out of my mind. The nations, going to the nations. And I'm just thinking about it and I'm still not sure whether I'm going to be preaching this weekend. And I'm like, man, it doesn't even matter if I'm preaching this weekend. I'm going to make the notes. So if it does happen, I'm going to be ready to go if they ask me to do so. And then as we talked later, Hannah's like, you're preaching this weekend. And I was like, the nations, I knew it. In the first week, we found out that we are unusual influencers, not only to those we are around right now, but also to the future generations. That's why it's important to know who you are in Christ, because you have an influence on those around you and those who are going to be living years and years and years from now. In the second week, we found out how so. It's because God loves us. And when we understand how much He does, it changes who we are and how we act to the world around us, because we want the world to know the love that God has for them, just as much as He has for us. Then last week, we found out and learned how that is by Dr. Rich Brink when he talked about being made complete in Christ. Are you complete in Christ? You influence no matter what you do. Do you influence properly? Or do you influence in a bad way? You influence always. Being complete in Christ lets you influence properly. In the final week, I want to talk to you about the importance of being an unusual influencer to the nations. I think as we look at the news lately, in these last couple of weeks, I mean forever really, but especially in the last couple of weeks, we've known how important it is to be influencers over the nations. There's so much going on, seen and unseen. And just as much as there is something going on in the natural, what we can see with our eyes, there are things going on in the supernatural, in the heavenlies, because there are things roaring in the spirit as well. Nations and people groups and things all over the world, things that we can and cannot see. But the awesome thing is Jesus is on the march. Jesus is moving. Jesus is moving. Jesus is touching those nations that you may never even have heard of or thought of about in your entire life. Places where there's conflict, places even where there's peace, God is touching those nations today. Why does He do so? Simply put, as it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believeth in Him will not perish but have eternal life. He loves the world. Not the man systems of the world. He loves the world, the people of the world. He loves us. And He sent His Son to die for us. And He rose again. And if we believe on Him, we will have eternal life. God loves the world. He loves the people in the world, and He wants us to go to the world to show them that love. It says in 1 Timothy 2:4 that He is willing that none should perish and to come to the saving knowledge. Jesus wants us to influence the nations so they too can know about Him. I'm going to let that sit there a second. You mean me, God? Simple kid from Lansing, New York? Yes. I want to use you to influence the nation. You mean these people here in Freeville, New York this morning? Yes. I want to use them to influence the nations. Do you understand the weight of that? Like, as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, whoa, there's a weightiness to it. Remember, I was talking a couple weeks ago, you know, this Bible doesn't really weigh a lot, but there's weightiness to what it says in here. And there's a weightiness to what God has for us. And I just, there are things that I worry about and things I don't, but what I worry about is sometimes not taking the seriousness, taking it seriously as God makes it serious, and taking things lightly. And this is something that I don't want to take lightly because it's got very big implications if we do. He asks us to influence the world, and I want to do that. This church right here has an influencer story from around the world in and of itself. This church was started about 30 years ago by an Australian who had been burnt out on ministry back in his home country, though Australia would be awesome. He comes here, he's burnt out, not knowing this was going to happen. Then all of a sudden, revival breaks out here in Freeville, here in Dryden, New York. And because of that, this church started under the name of Reach Out for Christ. And because, in a roundabout way, a man from Australia came and influenced a people from the USA here at Thrive. God wants us to love the world as he does. He wants us to have a heart for the people, even if we don't know them or we don't live near them or have anything in common with them. The gospel was and is being spread all over the earth, and God wants each of us to have a part in it. As it says in Mark 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Powerful. Yes, I want to do that. Yes, there is some fear in that too. But I want to. Why is it so important? Why is it so important for us to have a heart for the nations? If you could open up your Bibles to Acts 14, we're going to be going through 1 through 22. So we're going to be here for a second, and we're going to see why it's so important. Acts chapter 14, verse 1. Who's going to be first today? Who's going to be first? Me. I'm first. This is why it's important. Paul and Barnabas are on ministry, they're on missions, and they're going out, and they're living out the gospel call on their life. And as we read this story, there's going to be two cities involved in this and different people. But we're going to see why it's important to have a heart for the nations. In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both the Jews and of the Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there, speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting them that signs and wonders be done by their hands. So they had suffering. They had something come against them, and they didn't just leave. They said they stayed there and still testified with reliance on the Lord. But the people of that city were divided, and some sided with the Jews, and some sided with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and stone them, that they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lysonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region. And they were there and continued to preach the gospel. At Lystra, a man who was sitting, who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked, this man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze on him and had seen him, that his faith to be made well, he said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped up and began to walk. A miracle. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they raised their voice, saying in the Lysonian language, "The gods have become like men and have come down to us." And they began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was outside of the city, brought oxen and garland to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice to the crowds. But when the apostles and Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowds, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you." But here's the most important part. "And preach the gospel to you, that you should turn from these vain things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways. And yet he did not leave himself without a witness, in that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your heart with food and gladness. Even saying these things with difficulty, they restrained the crowds from offering sacrifices to them. But the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowd, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city the next day and went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." Ooh. Why is it so important to have a heart for the nations? Why is it so important to be unusual influencers, not only to the people in your life here in Freeville, New York, but also to the people around the world? Because like the people that he was talking about, they didn't know God. They worshiped some foreign things that bring no good to nothing. The gospel has to go to the nations. It has to be preached to those who've never heard it before. Those who've never heard his name have to hear his name. They have to hear the name Jesus, because there's no other name why you can be saved by. That's powerful right there. This is an opportunity. God says his name has to go out. The good news has to go out to all the nations. And I want you guys to be the ones to do it. Yes, God can do it by himself. He doesn't need us. He wants us to go do those things. We need him. He doesn't need us. He wants us to go out. He says go out and preach the gospel, the good news to all creation. Are you doing it? Do you have a heart for the nations? Do you want to influence the nations for Christ? This looks different for everybody, because everybody's in a different situation in their life. There's a different way that you reach the world than I reach the world. We're in different life seasons, we're in different places, but we are all called to influence the nations for Christ. We are all called. What stops us? What stops us from being influencers for Christ to the nations? We haven't thought about it. If we're honest with ourselves, how many times last week did we think about another nation other than America that we were praying for? Is that even on our minds? Is it even irrelevant to us? I never thought about it before, Pastor Caleb. I never thought of it. I'm here living it out. I'm here living the gospel out here in Dryden, New York, in the United States, in New York. But I've never thought that I had an influence on the nations. We believe it's impossible. We believe that our small lives that we live in, it's going to be impossible for us to be used by God to influence the nations. So it hinders us. Another thing that stops us is we can't see past the circumstances we're in. I'm too poor. I'm too old. I'm too small. I'm too young. I'm too sick. All those things come into our mind and we say, it can't happen because of the situation I'm in, the circumstance that I find myself in. There's no way that God could use me to influence the nations. So I don't even think about it. It's someone else's calling and not mine. Someone here is called to be a missionary to go around the world, and that's just not my calling. So I don't even think about it. Another thing that stops us is America only. I only pray for America. I only have a heart for America. I only have a heart for people around me. I don't have a heart for the nations. I never thought of it. And the other thing that stops us is fear. What if God is calling me to the nations? What if God is calling me to go somewhere that is dangerous? What if he's calling me to a people group that I don't necessarily like? When we're called to love the world, what if he's asking me to love somebody that I know tried to destroy people in my life? There's a fear. The answer to this is ask and see what our God can do. The answer, the antidote to all this is ask and see what God wants of you to influence the nations. And all those excuses will go away when you put your eyes on him instead of your eyes on yourself and the circumstance that you find yourself in. It says in 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 that God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times you may abound in every good work. Whom God calls, he equips. If he's putting a burden on your heart for a certain nation, no matter how far or how expensive that is, he's going to give you the grace to get there. He's going to give you the heart to pray for them. He's going to give you all that you need to go there to influence them for Christ. So they too can know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ just like you have. There's got to be a burden on your heart. And sometimes the burden gets sparked when we ask God, when we step out in faith and say, God, I know I'm supposed to have a burden for the nations. I want to have a burden. Put a burden on me right now, a burning for the nations, that they too can have a love and just experience your greatness. I have a little story of my little mission. Back in 2010, me, Pastor Tom, and some other peeps, we got to go to Israel. I've always wanted to go to Israel, and I finally get to go to Israel. And, you know, I'm experienced in Israel. I want to minister to the people, and I'm crying out to God for it. And then one night, Pastor Tom remembers it well, we were in a place called Nazareth Elot, I believe, Elite. And so this means it's like the Nazareth that like overlooks the Nazareth proper. And in the Nazareth proper is predominantly Arabs and Muslims down there, but the Jews are up on the hill. And we were worshiping with the Jewish believers, the Messianic believers, in this old, well, it was an industrial park. It was a garage. And we're all in there, and I'm sitting there. We're just worshiping. And all of a sudden, Pastor Tom taps me on the shoulder, and he goes, I think you're supposed to speak to him tonight. I'm like, these dudes don't even speak English. They speak Russian and Hebrew. And he's like, no, I think you're supposed to speak to them. I think you're supposed to pray and minister them in power. So I was like, okay. So I stand up and I start praying in tongues and I start praying in power and I start laying my hands on them. And the next thing I know, people are going down and people are crying and they are hearing my words, even though I'm speaking English, but it's speaking to their spirit. I had an influence on a nation. One boy from Central New York touched the lives of teenagers in Israel. You too, do not sell yourself short. There's a ministry or a missionary I want to talk about too, just real quick. Her name is Gladys Aylward. And she lived in the early part of the 20th century. She was from England. And you wouldn't have, if you'd seen her, you wouldn't have thought much of her. They said that she was super small, not very intellectual, and anything like that. Nothing that anybody should be like, wow, that's Gladys Aylward. She's super cool. She was just a normal person. Well, one day she's hearing a minister come in to one of the churches she was at, and he was talking about missionaries to China. And God sparked something in her right then and there. And she's like, I have to go to China. I have to go to China, and I have to minister the gospel in China. And she starts telling people, and they're like, well, you don't know the Chinese language. And she's like, I'll try to learn. So she goes to learn, and she just can't do it. She's just not able to do it. And they say, well, you're a woman, and this time you didn't do things like that by yourself. She's like, I'm still going to go. I'm still going to get there. So she starts preaching in the open-air markets in London. This little woman preaching the gospel. She's like, I'm going to get there. You don't have any money. You come from a poor family. She worked day and night, saved all her money. She finally gets the ticket. There's an opening spot in a small ministry in northern China that she can go to. She gets on a train, goes across the Soviet Union at the time, and gets to China, and she starts to minister there simply. All she would do is she served people in a hotel, and she would tell gospel stories. She would just tell gospel stories to the men who were coming in and out. She reached many people for God. Then in World War II, as the Japanese were invading China, she was watching a bunch of children. They said there was about 100 of them, and they needed to leave the area that they were in and go into the interior of China because the Japanese were coming. So just this one woman and a bunch of kids marched hundreds of miles from the outskirts of China to the in parts of China to get away. God used a simple woman that nobody would even think about to touch a nation, to change the eternity for who knows how many people. And he can do the same for you. How can we live up this call? First and simply, pray for the nations. Ask God to put a nation on your heart that you can give to, praying, spending time, fasting for. Ask God to put a people group on your heart if you have never done it before. Learn everything you can about that nation and know the forms of government, the different people groups that live in that nation, and the common problems that they face. Pray for the underground church. Pray for the persecuted church and the growing nations of the gospel. I know Iran is one of the biggest nations right now that the gospel is going to. India, Indonesia, Brazil, all these nations, the gospel is being spread. The gospel is growing. Do you have a part in it? Give to Malawi, because that's one of our churches that we sponsor here, our Reach Out for Church Malawi, to give to the nations. Ask God to spend time there. Short-term missions trips. And ask God, if it's His will, to be a missionary. Here I am, God. Send me. Here I am. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to pray? I have found that it's not like the big, big, big things that I struggle with. It's the momentary things where it's like, I could be praying for a nation right now, but instead I'm watching TV. Do I want to turn off the TV and spend a moment and pray for the nations that God has laid on my heart? It's the small decisions right there. And for me, like I've said many times, the nation that I always pray for is England. I pray for England, and I also pray for Israel, because that's been special in my heart, and South Africa. Those three nations are on my heart. And I pray for them, and I pray for them. Do you guys have a nation that you pray for? And as we close, Brian, come forth. Brian's going to play a song, or he's going to play a tune, or whatever it is. And as we do so, for about a minute as we stand, as we close out, I want you to ask God to put a nation on your heart. It could be one that He's placed on your heart for a long time, or it could be a new one that you never even thought of. And just intercede for that nation this morning. And just ask God to place it on your heart that God would touch that nation, and that, you know, even if it's not a simple thing to pray for a nation every day, to put aside time to think about that nation and the people there. But as we do so, as Brian plays, ask of God and see if He will not give you the nations as an inheritance. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you, God, for all that You've done. And thank you, God, that somebody today is hearing the gospel message for the first time, and that they're calling upon Your name, because it says if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. You will be saved. And if that's you this morning, don't keep that a secret to yourself. Come and tell one of us that you put your trust and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father God, we are asking this morning that You put a nation on our heart that burdens us, that You've given us a shepherd's heart, a father's heart for that nation, that You want to see the best in that nation. You see that we see the things that the people are doing, and it's breaking our heart. And we're not getting mad at them, but we want them to see the truth, Father God. We want them to see the truth of the gospel so they can be set free from all the things that were hindering them, that there could be revival in that nation, that there can be revival in this nation, that they're going to be revival here in our hearts in this town, that they hear the gospel and they come to true repentance and they fall upon their knees and they cry out to You because they feel relief because of all the burden that's been taken off of them. And You called us to be unusual influencers, Father God, to be unusual influencers, not only here and the people around us, but for all the people around the world. And don't give us and free us from these ideas, Father God, that we're too small, we're too young, or we're too old, or we're too something. It says that you have called us and you will equip us and all the grace will abound to us. So if you want us there, you'll get us there. You'll break our hearts for the nations. So revival will break out. So healing will come. So people can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, because we know that your gifts are still alive today. We can still walk in the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. People are being delivered. People are being healed. Chains are breaking off people all over the world. And in the jails and in the prisons, Father God, they're coming to you. They're coming to you this morning. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Release, release, God. Release, release this morning. And in this last minute, if you can, stand up and just cry out to the Lord. You say the nation out loud that God is raising upon your mind and your spirit this morning. And just call upon them. Ask God to break your heart for what breaks His in these nations. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Heal the corruption in South Africa, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, that you are giving us the faith to see the impact that we can and will have in you. The impact upon those nations. The impact upon what's going on. Thank you, Lord. And as Brian said earlier, there's ministry up front. We have a ministry team. And we want you to come and get ministry and just to be, you know, even if it's, you know, like if you have something to pray for, yes. But even if you're just like, I need a word of God from God. I just want to be released in His power. I want to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to walk in power. I want to see my influence greater, greater influence around the people that I have in my life and the people that I never even have known and the people around the world. I want my influence to grow for Christ. That He becomes more famous. That He becomes more well known by what He's doing in me and through me. Thank you, Lord. And as we leave here today, God, let us not let anything that we've gained from you be forgotten, Father God. And let us not stop being the church once we leave these doors, but that's when we impact the world around us. Bless us, and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.